Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. How are you?
Good. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, always good to be here on Sunday night. And we've been kind of going through the book of Luke, even though we didn't really plan this ahead of time. And last week we did Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And,
yes.
Tonight we're going to do another story from Luke, and this involves Jesus being at a home group and some things that happened there. And you know you had a really cool home group if you invited Jesus and he came.
Because you never knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, having Jesus at your home group, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. It was always packed.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool when you come to a home group and do music, but this would be like even more awesome.
Yeah, but not everybody from the neighborhood just kind of migrates there.
Yeah. And it doesn't say whether they were doing music or not.
They were probably singing Paul Wilbur songs.
They probably were. They probably had lyres and harps, and I don't mean people who didn't tell the truth. I mean the
lyres?
Musical instruments.
Oh, well. Well, yeah, lyres could be there, too.
Yeah, that's
they needed,
true.
Yeah,
they needed salvation.
Because they needed
salvation.
Exactly. So we all qualify.
Okay.
All right.
We're getting crazy again. Anyway, this account is actually in Luke chapter 5. It's in 17 to 26. It's also in Mark chapter 2 at the beginning of the chapter. And it's also in Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 2. So we're going to do the Luke version since, you know, we seem to be like cruising through Luke. So we're going to have Stephen read Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26. So if you have your Bible ready, turn to it. If you're driving, just listen.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One day as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him for healing. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on a stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "As for you, your sins are forgiven." Then the scribes and Pharisees began to ask themselves, "Who is this? Who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them in reply, "What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. And struck with awe, they said, "We have seen incredible things today." Wow.
I guess. Oof. Stephen and I do some home groups, and we've never seen anything that awesome.
No. Do you think the homeowner's insurance would cover this?
No.
No?
In fact, I don't know whose house this was, but he was the only one who wasn't saying, "Wow, this is awesome."
Yeah.
He's the one who's saying, "Who's going to fix my roof?
I have a skylight."
You guys get up there. Yeah, make a skylight. But this is interesting because here we are. It's in Galilee again, and Jesus is teaching in somebody's house. It really was, in fact, a home group. And by this time, everyone knew who he was. They had heard about him. They knew about his teachings. They had heard about miracles that he had done. And people would go and find where he was going to be and go there because they wanted to see. You know, some people just wanted to see what he was going to do, wanted to see some miracle. Some people wanted to actually hear the word and be taught and just kind of like take it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, like one of the groups that's here, wanted to just see what he was up to because they wanted to find some information or some evidence they could use against him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just pretty much like this everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
There's people that want to hear, there's scoffers, and there's people that are hostile.
Yes. Yeah.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bring up a good point there that the, you know, there's people that are there to be entertained.
Yeah.
In some regards.
Show us a miracle.
Yeah.
Let's just do something.
Yeah. Let's, wow. That's nice. Can you do something else? Yeah. And not really enter deeply into that reconciliation that is being offered to them through the Son.
Yeah. It's like people who go to church and want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to hear the music and kind of hang out for a while.
Yeah. Well, you get to the word of the Lord and, you know, ooh, that's a tough message.
Okay, yeah, it's a tough message.
Oh, well, we've been here for 25 minutes. I think we should go.
Yeah. And how dare that guy say that we're all sinners? And
yeah.
How dare that guy say, you know, we came here to be entertained.
Yeah, we feel good.
We don't want to be hassled. And here he was teaching in a house and, you know, Luke says it was on a certain day. So it wasn't a Sabbath. You know, Luke always points out when Jesus does something on a Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ears of grain, the guy with the withered hand, you know, the Pharisees confronting him about Sabbath. So this is not a Sabbath day. This is like a home group. This is like some non-Sabbath day.
Yeah, the Pharisees used to get a little bit bent out of shape when he did something
exactly.
on Sabbath.
I mean, this might have been a Monday or a Thursday. Yeah. But anyway, so it wasn't the Sabbath. And he's not teaching in a synagogue. He's not teaching at the temple. He's teaching in somebody's house.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took every opportunity to teach and preach, you know, wherever he found people, wherever people invited him, wherever people were gathered. You know, sometimes he would get in a boat, use the boat as a pulpit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he would sit down and just start teaching wherever people were gathered. So here he was. And it says, you know, there was a healing power that was present. He was teaching. His presence, with a capital P, was there.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, they see him as a man, as a human who's there, who's a really good teacher. And I hear this guy does miracles too.
Yeah.
So they see a guy standing there. Mm-hmm. They don't see like presence. Like we see presence with a capital P.
Yeah.
They see presence with a little p at this point. And he's teaching wherever he can, wherever he's invited, wherever he finds opportunity. And it says there's this healing power present, which is not only healing of bodies, but it's spiritual healing.
Yes.
Which is the more important of the two.
Yes.
Because if your physical body's going to pot and you're spiritually healed, that's much better than if your physical body's like Olympic standard. But your spiritual status is bad.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, you know, that's something that still takes place today. The healing ministry that Jesus began still takes place today. And people are still called in the same way to, you know, they come to the Lord. They seek and ask for healing.
Mm-hmm.
They seek and ask for forgiveness. And the Lord will heal them in different ways. Some physical, some immediately, you know, that a miracle is proclaimed. But in a lot of ways, it's a spiritual healing that takes place in someone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, their heart is embraced in the love of God, and their whole outlook, their whole understanding changes.
Yes.
The things that they, you know, worried about before are now unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now they want to, you know, they have a hunger to consume the Word of God and to learn.
And many of you can understand what we're talking about because you've experienced that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a, you know, it's a real thing. This guy had some really good friends.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. I mean, a big home group.
A big home group. But, you know, they're like, man, we can't get this guy in. Well, let's go up on the roof. Nobody's up there. All right.
Yeah.
Here he comes.
Exactly.
Now, could you imagine being there and you see these tiles coming off the roof?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
There was only one guy yelling, and that was the guy who owned the house. But, yeah. I mean, this healing power that was there, you know, he came to heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. You know, the gospel is very intense when you see our spiritual disease, he came to heal.
Right.
Our physical disease, he came to heal too, and he can heal our physical disease. But It's the brokenheartedness. It's the emptiness. It's the condemnation that we have that he came to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Luke points out that here he is preaching in this house and there's healing power present.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome. And people knew this. They came there. They said, you know, that guy over there, you know, sometimes we go to his home group, sometimes we don't, but, you know, Jesus is going to be there tonight, so I think we better go. They got a musician coming from Youngstown, but also Jesus is going to be there. So,
yeah, I think Jesus takes the bill.
Yeah. But then, interestingly, and we don't know exactly how all these people came together here, and it's not really important, but there were some important people that were present,
too.
They
probably heard about it on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, or it was advertised on somebody's radio show or, you know, they
one of those
on a website. Yeah, who knows? I mean, the guy whose home group this was probably had a website and said, you know, Thursday night, Jesus is going to be here. And they said, wow. So, but there were some important people that were there. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law. And we talk about the Pharisees a lot. They get a bad rap. They, you know, Jesus is pretty hard on them. They're the set apart ones. And they're the ones that are going to follow the law. And there's teachers of the law there. And they were at this place. They were at this house. And they were sitting by. You know, they're always sitting by. You know, if you read the story of the prodigal son, that parable, you know, it says that the people who were the sinners and the common people, they were listening to the story. It said the teachers and the Pharisees were there muttering. You know, mm-hmm. What's this guy talking about? Son living with the pigs and what's he, you know, what kind of teaching is this? Why are these people listening to this guy? They're supposed to be listening to us. And, you know, you see that they're kind of sitting by. They're not moved by what Jesus is saying. They're listening because mm-hmm. their hearts aren't open to it.
Right.
You know, like what you just described a few minutes ago, you know, if Jesus is preaching, we want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
And we say, oh, no, don't stop. Tell us more. We want to hear this because we want to embrace this word and we want to bring the word into us. These guys aren't moved by the words.
Yeah.
Their heart was not open to it.
Well, you know, we have the same thing in our culture today. And it's, you know, it's really in every culture, in every generation, I should say, that there's people that they'll go to someplace because they were invited there and it's just, you know, oh, well, you know, it's not going to cost me anything, so I'll just go to it, mm-hmm. and it's free.
Yeah.
And then there's some people that really...
They might have refreshments.
Yeah, they might have some refreshments or for some free food or something. You know, and then there's sometimes where somebody makes somebody go to something, and they kind of drag them along, so they feel like they're a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're really not going to get much out of it because they're grumbling about stuff.
Yeah.
And then you always have, you know, those who mutter because, you know...
What's this
guy talking
about?
Know everything.
Exactly.
And, oh, gosh, I've heard that before. Now, oh, what he's talking about.
Yep.
But then you always have some people in a group that are there to learn,
mm-hmm.
that are there with an open heart, and they're there seeking,
mm-hmm.
and they want to learn.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's always interesting. The Pharisees, like we always say, they had all this stuff. They had the law. They had the stuff.
They should have known.
And they should have, you know, and it's just, I think when you get caught up into having the stuff,
mm-hmm.
that you become blind.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily become blind because you think, well, certainly that can't be true.
Right. Can anything good come out from Nazareth?
Yeah. You know, so it's a trap that even we as people today can fall into.
Yeah.
You know, so, and obviously you don't want to be led astray by something that's not true.
They got distracted by their own importance.
Yes.
We're the religious leaders. Who's mm-hmm. this guy think
right.
he is?
And that what you just said is the important element.
Yeah.
Is if I get distracted by my own importance.
Right.
This is my position. This is my prayer group. Mm-hmm. How dare you come in here and heal people?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the leader of this church.
Just my home group.
How dare you come into my church and do this? Yeah. I'm the leader of this church.
Yes.
Well, you're not healing anybody. Go sit down. let the guy that's healing, or let the person that's healing people have his way.
Yeah.
And And we see that today. We see it today in our churches, in our groups and stuff. And there's this vying for my territory. This is mine.
Yeah.
I want this.
Mm-hmm.
I want your position.
Mm-hmm.
I want to lead praise and worship.
Yeah, exactly.
So God called me to lead praise and worship. Did he call you to lead praise and worship? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants you to do that, then go do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you get into these power struggles, you get into these territorial issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like the kingdom is not about that.
Exactly.
The kingdom is not about any of that.
Exactly. That's not what the body is about.
No, that's what selfishness is about.
Exactly.
And that's what, wanting to worship myself is about,
mm-hmm.
but it's not certainly what worshiping God is about.
Exactly. Exactly. And Stephen and I do a lot of teaching in front of groups and at churches. And those of you out and that are listening that are teachers, you know, all you have to do is look around the group that you're teaching and you can see every example of what Steve just said. You see some people going, oh, when is this guy going to shut up? You see somebody sitting there thinking, well, you know, tomorrow I got to do this and the next day I got to do that. And then when I'm done here, I got to go home and cut the grass. And I mean, they could care less what you're talking about. And then you have a certain group of people that are sitting there with their eyes wide open going, wow, this is really great. Mm-hmm. I never thought about this before.
Yeah.
And those are the people that are in this group that are listening to the word and they're learning.
Yeah.
Because the gospel is here. He's here to change lives, change hearts, heal the brokenhearted. This is what the gospel's all about. And there's people that are accepting it. This group of Pharisees and teachers, they're there trying to spy on him and get some information and say, mm-hmm. where's this guy from? He's not one of us. He's not from the right society. He's not from the right tribe. You know, who does he think he is?
Not a Levite.
Yeah, not a Levite. We're supposed to be running this home group, not him. Like, this guy shows up out of nowhere and all these people are here. Come on. We've been doing this for 20 years.
And he's from Nazareth.
I mean, those people over there, that's the backwoods. You know, he worked in a carpenter shop. We're the ones that were studying at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
This guy worked in a carpenter shop.
Yeah.
And now he's leading this. He's trying to teach the word. And why are these people listening to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on, they're going to say, why do you eat with sinners?
Yeah.
We don't eat with sinners.
Yeah.
You know, we just eat with holy people.
Your disciples don't wash their hands before the meal
exactly.
and all this stuff.
Yeah. How come they're not fasting like John's disciples fasted?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's a break already. We're not even through the roof yet. Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We're going to listen to something from Paul Wilbur's new CD, Your Great Name. We'll be right back.
We were born in a time of trial. We were born on a battlefield. We were born for such a time as this. We were born for a true revival. Such a time as this.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
That's another awesome song.
This is a great CD. Go to wilburministries.com and order.
What's the name of the CD again?
Your Great Name.
Your Great Name.
Something about a name. Something about the name. But anyway, no, it's really awesome. We got to hear Paul Wilbur preview some of the songs, and I got a copy of it, and I think you got a copy of it.
I got a copy.
I ordered a couple of more copies. And anyway, so these Pharisees are not, you know, sitting under the word, so to speak. They're not there for the teaching. They're there, you know, they're kind of censors. They're spying. They're getting information.
Exactly.
You know, it's like these, you know, these people in this home group, you know, they used to be under our authority, and now they're listening to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to disrupt my home group.
Exactly.
This home group. And that was kind of their thing. And you made a great comparison about how we have people like that in churches. You know, who's this guy think he is?
Yeah.
This is my church.
Yeah.
Who's this guy think he is? This is my home group.
I've been ministering at this church for 25
exactly.
years. Who's this new person?
Exactly. Well, why are they listening to him?
Yeah. As if God doesn't raise up new people to you know, keep things going in the kingdom.
Yeah. And it says that these authority figures came from all kind of different places. They came from all through Galilee, all through Judea. They even came from Jerusalem, all the way up to Galilee. Now,
the place was crawling.
You know, maybe they were there before, you know, maybe they were there for a conference, you know, maybe there was a Pharisee conference somewhere nearby, and they happened to come to this home group after dinner, or, you know, there weren't any more sessions in the evening, so they went to this home group. I mean, we don't know, but it doesn't tell us whether all these Pharisees and teachers of the law came from different places just because of this, or whether they were already there. But the interesting thing is they were there,
mm-hmm.
and that they heard this. And Jesus, of course, while he was teaching, and we're not told exactly what he was saying before this paralytic guy came, but he knew what these guys were up to, and he, of course, knew their hearts, and he knew what they were thinking, but he doesn't let that interfere with what he's doing.
Right.
He's doing the teaching. He's doing the, you know, kingdom stuff. He's there in this, you know, he's got this mission as Redeemer that he's got to do. And these Pharisees and authorities and teachers, they're going to miss the blessing they're going to get from this, and they're going to miss the transformation of heart that they can get from this, but he doesn't deprive the other people of it.
Right.
Just because there's a handful of people there that don't want to hear this.
Exactly. And it's a good lesson for anybody who is been called into ministry.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, while obviously, you know, you want to be respectful of people,
mm-hmm.
but there comes a place in time where if God's asking you to pray with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a word, pray with that person.
Yeah.
You pray with that person.
Reminds me of a recent experience I had where I was speaking to a men's group. I won't say where or what kind of church it was, but I got treated pretty roughly because these guys didn't like what I was saying, and they wanted to talk about nice, fluffy stuff.
Did they throw you out and try to stone you?
Well, they didn't try to stone me, but they almost threw me out.
Okay.
And they were pretty critical, and I left there feeling very discouraged, and then a couple of weeks later, I ran into this man who I didn't know at a convenience store of all places when I went in to buy some milk or something, who said, you don't know me, but I was at that men's group and you got treated pretty roughly, but I just want you to know that you had an impact on me and I've been thinking about what you said. And what an encouragement that was, because mm-hmm. then I left there thinking, hey, if one guy got reached,
exactly,
it was worth doing.
And a lot of times, when you're in ministry, that stuff happens.
Yeah,
and I exactly. mean, you know, like we were talking about last week about being prepared to be in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
It basically is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yeah. you know, Jesus is in the desert and
yeah.
he's being tempted.
Yeah,
we got to be prepared to take
yeah.
to be tempted to be in the battle and to basically get sifted like wheat. You mm-hmm. know, Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. are you ready for that? And we tend to think that, well, that's not going to happen to us.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's times where it does happen to me.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel too good. You know? And it's, I'm sure it's happened to people that are listening. But, you know, you take that to the Lord and you ask, Lord, okay, Lord, what's happening here? What am I supposed to learn here?
Yeah.
You know, if you start grumbling like Job, you'll get you might get a long talk from the Lord.
Oh, yeah, like several chapters.
Like several chapters.
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Have you done this? Have you done that? So.
Yeah. When you measure the earth and all this stuff, let me know and then we'll talk. But, yeah, exactly. Good point.
And you take it to the Lord in humility and just ask him, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to learn here? Because sometimes when there's things that are going on and it's like I hit a wall, I'm trying to do stuff, and it's like all of a sudden then I realize, uh-oh, I really haven't asked the Lord, all right, what do you want to teach me here?
Exactly.
And as soon as I ask that question, things usually become a lot less stressful and a lot easier.
Exactly.
And then something, you know, then the Lord reveals something.
It's like, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And when you have, and when you do that and you know what your mission is, you can't be distracted by people who say, what's this guy talking about? I don't want to listen to this.
Yeah.
And the example here is in this group of people in this home, he's doing the teaching regardless of these guys going, but the cool part of the story is when this paralytic guy's brought in. Hey, this is really amazing. Here comes these people. Now, like I said earlier, they've heard about the miracles and they've heard about Jesus teaching and they've heard about people being cured and they've heard all kind of things. And they bring this guy on some kind of a stretcher or a pallet or a bed or whatever it is, depending what translation you have. And one thing is clear. This guy can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
He's paralyzed.
Yeah.
So, whether he had a spinal cord injury, a brain injury, he was born that way, no matter what his illness, underlying illness was, the basic thing here is he can't walk.
Right.
And these people think, we don't know who they're, his friends, his family, if we bring him to Jesus, he can cure him. Mm-hmm. Something good's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really a demonstration of faith.
Oh, yeah.
If we just get him to the church, if we just get him to the home group, something good's going to happen.
Yeah.
And the guy himself may have initiated it. We don't know. Said, mm-hmm. You know, if you just take, you know, Jesus is over there. He's right in the next street. You know, let's take me over there.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point because there had to be some persistence here because obviously they couldn't get him in through the doorway.
That's right.
And then to go up on the roof and cut open the roof and lower him down.
They did hard work to get him there.
Yes.
Maybe the guy said, hey, let's go up through the roof.
You know, you have to wonder, did everybody agree and go, oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, or, what are you talking about the roof? We can't cut through the roof.
And he was paralyzed. He couldn't go up a ladder or anything. Right. So these guys had to carry his stretcher or whatever it was with the guy on it.
Yeah.
A heavy guy up to the roof.
Mm-hmm.
They went through a lot of effort to get him there.
And then lower him in.
Yeah. So they struggle because they want to get him to Jesus. They want to get him in front of Jesus because they know that if they work really hard to do this, something good is going to happen to this guy. And we may have to do that. We may have to work hard to bring somebody to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily somebody who's physically ill and can't walk, but it's somebody who's condemned in sin. It's someone who's not a believer. It's someone who's a, whatever you want to call it, an arrogant, unrepentant person. You know, sometimes we have to work really hard to present the gospel to him.
Yes.
But one thing we know is if we present the gospel to him and he accepts it, something good is going to happen to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the stiff-necked people that were in Egypt are not the only ones that inhabit the face of the earth.
Yeah, that's for sure.
There are, you know, there's plenty of times where human beings are stubborn and set in their ways. And, you know, I was stubborn and set in my ways before I came to the Lord.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, when you encounter somebody like that in ministry, which you do often, it's like, you know, it's like, all right.
Steve and I can think of like 10 people right off the bat.
Like, all right, Lord, very funny. You know, this is, Yeah, but it's you have to learn how to deal with those situations and ask the Lord for help. How do I minister to this person? What do I say? How do I, what do they need to hear?
Mm-hmm.
What do they need to hear? It's exactly. Not what I want to tell them. What do they need to hear, Lord?
That's right. And that's the equivalent of these guys carrying the paralyzed guy.
Yeah.
And doing all this work.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to carry him and his bed, stretcher, pallet, whatever it is. And they, because they do all these things, and all of a sudden they lower him in through the roof, Jesus sees all this.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had to be noticed as they were tearing off the tiles.
Yeah.
You know, they had to be looking at this for a
racket?
While. What's going up on the roof?
Yeah. But Jesus sees their faith. And there's, you know, many times in the gospel accounts of people where Jesus marvels at the faith people have. They go, mm-hmm. Wow, you know, woman, your faith has saved you.
Yeah.
Or, wow, I haven't seen faith like this in Israel, when he's talking about the Roman centurion who says, oh, just say the word and my servant will be all right. And he says, wow, you know, here's this foreigner who has all this faith.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about that. He sees these guys with this guy on the stretcher going through all this work, that he sees the faith they have and the faith that he has. And, you know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
And he lets them go through this whole process
until
the guy's in front of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
He doesn't stop them and go, well, you know, okay, you guys, all right, you showed me that you're, you got faith. You're trying to open up the roof. Okay. You can get off your stretcher now.
Yeah, exactly. He watches the whole thing happen. And he's so moved by this that he stops the teaching he's doing. Because, you know, of course, this guy's coming down through the roof. They're all standing there looking at him. And, of course, the guy whose house it was is yelling, hey, wait a minute. You're going to go back there and patch that roof. But
I'm sure it wasn't distracting at all.
No. In those days, it was easier to fix a roof than it is now. Now you'd have to call your homeowner's insurance, and they say, no, we don't care. Yeah,
we don't cover
people, paralyzed people going through your roof. And we don't cover healings in your house. So, tough.
Yeah.
Then you call a roofer and it's like $5,000 to fix it. But anyway.
Got to get some baked tiles.
It was easier then. Yeah. So he sees their faith. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith and dependence, you're not going to please him no matter what you do.
Right.
And he comes down and he's before him. And Jesus says a very interesting thing. He says, your sins are forgiven. Which is an amazing thing to say.
Yeah.
And you can picture people around the room going, what did he say? And no one in this time, no one living in Old Testament times would have heard a human being say, your sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a blasphemous thing to say. Because as we see here in this account.
As they point out.
Yeah, only God can forgive sin.
Yeah.
So here's Jesus saying, well, your sins are forgiven. Now, remember, sin is really the basis of everything that goes wrong.
Right.
You know, we live in a fallen world because of sin.
Exactly.
We live in a world where we get sick because Adam and Eve sinned, and after them, everybody who came after them sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, well, you know, all men sin, therefore all men die. And, you know, sin is the curse that leads to disease and death and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really the basis of everything, and forgiving sin is such an important, is the important thing, because that is salvation.
Exactly.
If sin can't be forgiven, then you always stand
condemned. Exactly. Exactly.
Which is why when people who don't come to Christ, people who don't recognize what they are, people who don't come to the cross and say, I repent, I'm sorry, I want to be forgiven, I want to follow you.
Right.
It doesn't matter how nice they are. Their sin's not going to be forgiven.
Exactly.
And so the sin is the basis of all this stuff. So when he says your sins are forgiven, if he forgave the guy's sin, but the guy was still paralyzed, that's great for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, would probably feel like something had happened to him. That's
right.
Mercy and that's grace.
Exactly.
If his sin was not forgiven and he was cured, there's no advantage in that. So if Jesus would have said to him, you can get up and walk now, but you know what? Your sin's not forgiven. And he might have been able to get up and walk, but he wouldn't have really been in any better shape.
Nope.
And that would have been, you know, he would have still been subjected to God's wrath.
Exactly.
Whereas if his sin was forgiven, but he was still paralyzed, he would have God's grace, mm-hmm. would be forgiven, and would have salvation.
Right.
So the first thing Jesus says is, your sins are forgiven. This is the first thing. This is the important thing. And now there's a question of authority that comes up.
How can you say this?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who are you that you can say your sins are forgiven?
I've never said that in a home group.
Yeah. No, I wasn't talking to you.
I
was talking about the Pharisees in the passage here. Yeah, I mean, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to ask themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Mm-hmm. Who but God alone can forgive sins? And Jesus knows what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
He knows the thoughts in their heart. And he starts a conversation with them. What are you thinking in your hearts? What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He says to the paralyzed guy, I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher and go home.
Yeah.
And the guy picks up his stretcher and he goes home.
Whoa.
And the Pharisees are looking at this going,
uh-oh. Yeah. That's right. You know, we talk about signs and wonders a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we're at a home group and I say, Steve, your sins are forgiven, you would say, what are you talking about? I would have no authority to forgive anybody's sin, my own or anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a guy who is standing in the middle of the room and says, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
And he knows what's in their hearts and he knows what they're thinking and he knows what they're going to do and he knows what their objections are. But he has the authority to forgive sin.
Right.
So he uses signs and wonders in a way that he says, just so you know that I have the authority to forgive mm-hmm. sins, stand up and walk.
Yeah.
This is going to prove to you that I have the authority.
Yeah. It's truly amazing.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, the guy gets up, he goes home, and he's glorifying God, and then the people are just astounded.
Yeah.
At what they've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you said, nobody was saying, you know, your sins are forgiven.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody did that.
Yeah. They all saw that this guy was paralyzed. They all knew he was paralyzed.
Yes.
They probably knew he was a sinner, too, but they knew that he was paralyzed.
And now he's up walking around.
Now he's up walking around holding his stretcher.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I have proof to you that I have this authority, because I also have the authority to physically heal them, physically heal him.
Yeah.
So the crowd saw a paralyzed guy coming down through the roof. His friends who brought him knew he was paralyzed. He knew he was paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Jesus knew he was paralyzed. Yep. But then he says, stand up, pick up your stretcher and walk. And they see him walking and carrying the stretcher.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And interestingly, too, he says, so you know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. This is the first time Luke uses the title Son of Man, which Jesus used a lot more than Son of God to describe himself.
Yeah.
That the Son of Man has authority to forgive sin. So here was the Son of Man, the Son of God. He was always the Son of God, but now he's also the Son of Man.
Exactly.
Showing, I'm the Messiah. I have both natures. I can forgive your sin and I can physically heal you.
Yeah.
Despite what these guys with the fancy robes are thinking.
Yeah.
So this is quite a display. Uh-oh.
This is another new song?
Is this from the new song? Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Yeah.
Your great name. Let's listen to this. And remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. Look for us on Facebook, leave us some nice comment, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. We're in the last segment.
Already?
Yeah. Wow. So we got to finish this up because next thing you know, the music will come back.
I know.
But anyway, so Jesus pronounces forgiveness first. He has authority to forgive sin. Then he heals the guy. Yes. Everybody is amazed.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, it shows us that here he is in a humble state compared to his usual state, mm-hmm. you know, to the glory that he had. You know, he says to the Father, you know, I'm going to come back to the glory that I had before. Mm-hmm. He's in this humble state in a house, in a home group, and he has the authority to forgive sin. He also has the authority to remove the consequences of sin.
Yeah.
And then when he sacrifices himself, he's even going to remove the guilt and the burden that we have because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
That heals this man spiritually and physically.
Yeah.
As proof of his divinity, and by these signs and wonders, he undoes what these Pharisees are thinking.
Yeah.
Because he can see what they're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very evident that they're grumbling
yes.
against him.
Yes.
They're amongst themselves, but they're grumbling against him.
Mm-hmm.
And how could he do this? Nobody but God has the authority to forgive sins.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Yeah.
You know?
So instead of realizing that the Messiah was there with him in the room,
yeah.
that he was Son of God and Son of Man and had the spiritual and physical authority to do these things, they're grumbling and looking for ways to condemn him.
Mm-hmm.
They're upset. They're offended. Their authority's threatened. This is not how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're the guys who know the law. We're the ones that are set apart. We're the teachers of the law. We're the ones who tell common people how they're supposed to live.
Mm-hmm.
And now this guy is here and he's healing people.
Yeah.
Now the rest of the people leave there glorifying God.
Yeah.
And the guy with the stretcher, I mean, he's probably like singing hallelujahs as he yeah. goes out because yeah. now he's got a whole different life. And he's encountered Christ and his life has been transformed.
Completely transformed.
Yes. We've encountered Christ and our lives have been transformed. Mm-hmm. He's transformed in a spiritual way, in a physical way. He has total transformation. Everybody's there says that they're amazed.
Yeah.
You know, the Greek word is like they're almost terrified. That's how amazed they are. And not terrified in a, you know, fearful way, but
just astonished.
Overwhelmed
yeah.
that this has happened right at their home group. And they've seen an amazing sign. They're impacted by this. They were listening to the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the wonder, the sign that happened. And unlike the religious leaders, they are praising God. They're glorifying God, it says. They're glorifying him, praising. Yeah. They're amazed. They say, wow. But the Pharisees and the teachers aren't saying, wow. They're not glorifying God. They're mad mm-hmm. that their authority has been threatened.
Yeah. Yeah. And they miss the blessing.
Exactly.
They miss the blessing and the grace that God
exactly.
poured out there. And it still goes on today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to prayer groups. I've been to home groups. I've been to places where you see someone being healed
mm-hmm.
and there's somebody else that's grumbling.
Yeah.
And it's sad to see that because they're missing the grace that God's pouring out.
Of course.
You know, or something didn't go just like the leader thought
mm-hmm.
it should have gone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Nobody told me about that.
We don't do it that way here.
I guess you didn't get the memo.
Exactly.
But it happens. And you know, as a leader of a prayer group, as a leader of any ministry, obviously you have something that God's entrusted you with and you want to mm-hmm. take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to, you have to have that right discernment.
Yes.
Is this of the Lord?
Yes.
And sometimes you need to let things play out just a little bit.
Yes.
Because, God, you know, we try and put an infinite God into a small little box and go, I know how he's going to work.
Yeah.
And exactly. This is what he always does.
Yes. And I'm the leader here, so I know what he's going to do.
Yeah. And he's not going to do anything without my authority.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Okay.
Yes. And you hit the nail on the head is you have to discern what the Lord is doing and what he wants to do.
You got
to
discern.
And if you're a leader and you stand in the way of that, mm-hmm. you're going to miss the blessing, and maybe your congregation, church, is going to miss the blessing.
And even if something's happening in somebody's lives, and you're talking to somebody, and they're going through something,
yeah,
don't judge and condemn them. Help them follow the Lord's plan,
exactly,
because you don't know what God has planned for that person.
Exactly,
I have a hard enough time figuring out what God's doing in my life, let alone somebody else's. You know, so it's like I used to work in a bank mm-hmm. doing mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
God took me out of all of that.
Yeah.
And now I minister at two churches
mm-hmm.
in music. And that's what he wanted me to do all along. But during that transitional period, when things were crumbling and going awry, and I'm thinking, oh, what's happening? You know, Lord, what's going on? Where do you want me at? And I'm searching. You know, I had people tell me that, well, you're doing this because this is happening to you because you can't listen to people. You can't follow instruction. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and now there's a certain individual that will come and ask me, are you still working? Yeah. At the same place? Yeah. And they're amazed.
Yeah.
Because they think, how could I have been wrong in my discernment? Certainly you're going to get fired someday soon. And it's like, okay, all right. If that's what you want to believe, go ahead. But this is, you got to glorify God in this.
Amen.
You got to glorify God and let him work things out because he's sovereign.
And discern what the Spirit's doing.
Exactly.
Whew, I can't believe this is the end.
Wow.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. We'll be back next week.
And we pray that you just study the Word of God, consume it, and we'll be back here next week on The Gift of Grace. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.